Lemohan! He shoots, he scores! Oh! One for one!
That is going wild! Score!
The hockey guys are on the air.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
The hockey guys, the tradition continues.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome, our friends.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We're all in our places with sunshiny faces. I hope this isn't your last day after talking about the Danburys.
Yeah.
Jeff, I exited the studio, and Jeff decided to, I don't know what he decided to do. Gunnar, what did he do?
Man, it was...
My poor kid calls me. He's in tears, trying to figure out if he's ever going to be back on the radio. I
know that may get us a Marconi. Do we get Marconis in this business, Spence?
I was like, I couldn't.
I know that you could get fired because that's what the text message said.
Yeah, man.
And I said, really? And no response.
That was mid-show, too.
I'll be smiling if your RA walks in this morning with pink slips.
A big look. Hey, I'll tell you what. Well, first of all, welcome to the hockey guys. Eddie and I, we're back in the studio together. Eddie went on his fishing trip. How'd you do fishing?
You know, I think I've got the bracketology all figured out with the group of guys that I was with. They're all experts because they're all from Bemidji.
He definitely ducked that question.
Got it all figured out.
Hey, no, how did you catch anything?
Hey, by the way, let's have a quick hockey talk. Jeff, you were playing hockey. The parents...
Because this is a hockey show?
Five kids in the car, one parent to the rink. The kids played a game of hockey, right?
They're supposed to, but there's a lot of dads up there that...
Okay, but the game has now evolved to where it's probably 1-1 or 1-4 or 1-5 where you had five adults watching one play. It's all awesome because I'm going to end up in that world someday. But here's the question I have. I don't understand how you drive by... Last evening, getting back into town from a good week, 11:30 at night, and as I turn the corner to go home by the Moorhead Sports Center, I look over and things start flashing back on me. The parking lot's full of beer cans. My question is, do you want to have a party at the rink, or do you want to have the kids at the rink? And we need to discuss, where is this thing going when you pull by and you got a squirt tournament going on, and that when they leave, the beer cans are in the parking lot. I'm sitting here saying, come on, guys. Get it. Let it be for the kids.
Well, yeah, you think you'd want to show up and just watch some youth hockey.
But we're a college hockey show. But, you know, if those kids have parents that do that, they probably don't have to worry about college hockey. Go, Jeff, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, if you're drinking Ham's beer, that's one thing. Because Ham's beer is going to be a sponsor of the show someday. We want to get a... we need to get a big list of people out there signing a petition to get... Ham's beer on our show. But take a look, Eddie. I've always been a anti-alcohol at the rink or in the parking lot, Ed. You're there for the kids, not you. And I just think it sets a bad example. Now, with that said, have I gone out and had a Diet Coke or so or something like that in between a period? I have. But... regularly, the answer is no. And you can go home to my house, Ed, and you know me with alcohol. There's not a bottle in my fridge, not a can, nothing. The only thing I got is...
There wasn't, because when I came over for Christmas, there was more juice than
Boy, does he smile when he walks in and sees that 30-pack of Ham's, hey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he calls me before he's even get it ready.
Best time of the week, right there, buddy, making sure the Ham's beer is cold. But, yeah, It comes down to parenting, and do you want your kid to open up the fridge, grab some milk, and see beer and alcohol in the fridge? I've just taken the personal view that, no, I'm not going to do it. But let's talk about who's going to be on the show today at 11:13.
11:13?
Excuse me, 8:18.
Hey, Loopy.
Yeah, I got
we've got Eddie and Loopy in the studio this morning.
AM or PM?
all right. Let me back up.
If you play the game and you play the game as aggressive as Mr. Bradall did back in the day, then you start getting a little loopy because you got to have a little assistance support.
Well, it was just a couple years ago.
Now, all right. truth in radio here. I'm suffering big time from sciatic nerve pain all the way down my left leg. My left foot is completely numb. My calf, my thigh, and my buttocks. And
we keep carrying them.
I told him if you wanted my tennis ball.
So I took a couple pain pills. I took some CBD, and I am just flying high right now. So anyways, get the times right. At 8:18 a.m., we got Jordan Kawaguchi. Drum roll, please. And at 8:35 a.m., we got Bob Motzko, the head coach of
the University
of Minnesota.
The little M.
But we also got to thank Colin Insulation.
Hey, I was in the shower this morning, right? You got the big M, Michigan.
Hey,
you got the little M, Minnesota. And then you got to figure out who's the mid-size M. Is that Minnetonka or Moorhead? They all want to use the same logo.
Well, I'd say Moorhead would be closer in
mine
color scheme-wise.
Mine is using the same logo, too. All right, don't cut me off now yet.
He has to tell a quick story.
The Hockey Guys is brought to you by Cullen Insulation, Beggins Strendon Vision, and Federated Insurance Company, and soon, Hams Brewery.
TBD.
There you go. Thank you to our sponsors.
TBA.
From the land of sky blue waters.
You know what we need to do? Jazz the studio up a little bit and put one of those big ham canoes on the wall.
Well, let's say those neon lights.
Scott and Steve
let me see if I can.
Palace in Florida, and all of a sudden these beautiful pictures are down. It's got Ham's beer and Sioux jerseys up. Scott will like it. I don't think Steve will.
Let me see if I can have the Ham's bear make an appearance, because that might be worth a lot.
That's a bear?
What's that? The Ham's bear. Yeah, everybody's seen the Ham's bear. Yeah.
No.
We should get the Ham's bear. Yeah. College hockey.
The canoe and the bear.
Aren't we a college hockey show? So far, all you've done is advertise for yourself. Advertise for Kawaguchi and Motzko, and you haven't done anything to talk college hockey. What's happening in college hockey?
Tomorrow night.
We'll find out.
ESPNU.
Are they announcing it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night. We'll know.
What time?
I think it's 7 p.m.
Eastern time.
I would say Central, Eastern. Knowing him, he'll probably wake up 12 hours early or late.
So the world's interesting. Everybody has an opinion, and I don't think anybody has a clue.
I do.
It's a riddle. It's quite early for a riddle.
I think everybody
man.
Has an opinion, because all the guys that, you know, we all have our opinion, but I don't think anybody has a clue what the NCAA is going to do. Look what they did to the women. The women, right?
I didn't see that, no.
And we'll probably ask Coach Motzko what he thinks, but, you know, they'll go for women, don't end up in the top eight, even though in that world they had rankings. So they ended up, if I'm not mistaken, with a 12 that went over a 4 and an 8. So don't think that there's a lock here. I mean, I look at the list that everybody's, you know, when you look at the CHN guys and you look at the Grand Forks Herald guys and you take a look at the Mankato guys and you take a look at the Duluth guy, you know, our news, but you have North Dakota, St. Cloud State, Duluth, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Mankato, BCBU, UMass, Quinnipiac, AIC, and then everybody questions. I put AIC and everybody says Atlantic Hockey, but why would an 11-team league get one and you have a 7-team league that's trying to lobby for 4? Explain the logic in that to me.
It's over half.
No, just explain the logic. I mean,
If
you're going to look at the team that wins your tournament is in, and you take a look at
the top
team that won the league, again, my question is, I'm sitting here looking at, you know, I love Scotty Sandlin at Duluth, but why is Duluth in?
We talked about this when we watched the semifinals.
So
they need to
one
be
of
in.
The things they're going to do this year, Ed, and we talked last week with a gentleman from College Hockey America, is they're going to look at the history of the program, and I think how can you keep out Duluth with last year's or the last reigning champion 3 years? So they're going to get in. You know that. You know, I look at this and say the Big Ten, they better have no more than 4 teams.
What do you mean 2? Who else would it be?
Now you look at Wisconsin, Minnesota, Notre Dame, and Michigan.
You think Notre Dame's in?
Not in.
I was going to say no.
No, Notre Dame's not in.
So you think the 3?
Can't be, yeah.
The 2.
Yep. I mean, Hockey East, the only team really sitting there is that you're sitting there with University of Mass Lowell wins the tournament. What happens to Hockey East? They're in the championship today. So you've got Canisius, AIC. AIC, I think, is in based on pairwise. And if Canisius wins, Canisius is in. So now you drop two in out of Atlantic Hockey. So now that drops out one of your question marks.
Okay, if Notre Dame's out, we have Michigan. Is Michigan in, Michigan out?
Right now,
they're out.
The opinions have Michigan at number six in the country. I just read it to you. North Dakota, St. Cloud State, Duluth, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Mankato, BC, BU, UMass, Quinnipiac, AIC. Those are the ratings placements. And then they're leaving you with the extra four spots. So it's kind of interesting. Then you have St. Lawrence against Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac's in on rankings. If St. Lawrence wins, they pick up another one. They win the tournament, in their home tournament. Lowell and Mass. Mass is in. Lowell's in. We got that one. So, and then Northern Michigan, Lake Superior State. The league champion is Mankato in the WCHA. So if Northern wins, Northern's in. And then they're going to say, well, Lake Superior State deserves to be there. So then WCHA's lobbying for their extra Lake Superior State. Now it's full. And then so this thing's going to get fun today.
The drums were beating to get Bemidji in, who had one of the toughest schedules in the country.
And then they lost in their tournament, and now they're probably on the outside looking in, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to get interesting. And then on top of that, we're up against the clock. So the hockey guys will be back on with Jordan Kawaguchi. We reach out to our show sponsor, Cullen Insulation. And
Federated, big and stringent.
You'll have to fire up the questions if you want to call in.
271-11.
1100. We'll be back with the hockey guys at 8:18.
Right now. All right now, baby.
You know who's feeling all right right now? University of North Dakota winning the NCHC regular season, winning the championship, led by this man, Jordan Kawaguchi. Thank you for joining a couple ex-old UND hockey players, Jordan.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, welcome to our family, the hockey guys. One thing we do in the second period here is we shake for breakfast. Eddie, can you shake for Jordan? We always say your credit card will work up here in Fargo, George. You got to trust Eddie with the dice, though.
Five sixes. We don't need to shake, Jeff.
Oh, you got free breakfast on us, Jordan. So tell us.
Hey, have Coach Barry cover that for me and tell him I'll pay him back.
So why don't you recap, how's it feeling right now? You've had a heck of a season. You did what you're supposed to do in the playoffs. You're partially to the goal, the ultimate goal. How's it feeling?
It's a great feeling, honestly. You know, winning the Penrose was our first step, and then moving into the playoffs and winning the NCHC Frozen Faceoff was the next one, and solidifying our berth in the tournament. So now, like you said, we're getting close to the end, and hopefully we have four games left.
Jordan, as you take a look at the what I will say the 2 years that you've had to go through. Most people may understand that a lot of teams look at second half of the year, correct? And explain to us a little bit, how do you chase that ultimate prize, which is the NCAA championship, for 2 years? What has that done mentally within the context of North Dakota hockey?
Yeah. mentally, it's honestly kind of draining. I mean, you're trying to stay dialed for so long, and it's kind of tough, but at the end of the day, you know, we have one goal in mind, and we all know that our team is capable of winning that national championship, and it doesn't mean we're going to. We have to still go through the whole process and make sure we are sharp in everything we do, practice and games and stuff, and I think if we do that, I think we'll have a pretty good shot. So it's, like I said, it's been a bit mentally draining, but I think myself and the rest of the boys have really enjoyed the ride we've been on this last couple of years.
You take a look at what you went through last weekend at Grand Forks, the one-and-done games. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on the leaders of the team, such as yourself, to make sure you're ready to play as a team. I mean, and that actually helps you going into the playoffs because it's a one and done going forward, too. That's a scary situation. But visit a little bit about the maturity of this year's team with regard to moving forward in the one and done play as the season progresses here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think we were very happy with the way we started this last couple of games. I think it kind of maybe took us a little bit to get into it. So that's just something, you know, we're going to be ready for moving forward here. We're going to be knowing that, you know, we have to start right from the bat. We can't come back from one goal deficits every time. You know, there's going to be better teams out there that know how to defend that one goal lead. And, you know, I think that's something we have to look into. But other than that, I mean, I think we've been playing really good hockey. And, you know, I think everyone understands that, you know, it's win or go home now. And, you know, we gotta hang on the ice and, you know, don't be nervous about anything. You know, as long as we're playing hard and playing the way that we play, we're going to, you know, hopefully come out on top.
You know, the concern I've had all season is because the UND team this year is so dynamic, scoring on every line and big name players on every line, it's not your typical 1-2 line and then three and then a four is a checking line. It's every line's a scoring line. But the tendency one could have is to sit back and let someone else do it. And that's what kind of, Jordan, I kind of saw in the two games that you mentioned in Grand Forks until the team just turned it on. And you could just see it on the TV where it was just a switch, boom. And it was a completely different team. A little tough when you got other guys that can do your job as good as you can. Gives you a little tendency to sit back. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think everyone, our lineup is so deep right across the board. And, you know, I think you're right. I think, you know, we kind of look at each other sometimes and like, all right, well, he's going to score. You can score. Or, you know, you can score, that kind of thing. But I think, you know, we're all, I think we're all mature enough to understand that, you know, we're here to win a hockey game. We're here to do a job. And when it comes down to it, we're going to, you know, flip that switch, like you mentioned. And, you know, I'm pretty confident in our group that, you know, everyone understands that kind of thing. So,
Jordan, Eddie Christian here again. And when you take a look, there's probably no better feeling in the world than to be a senior playing college hockey. And once you get the first 2 weeks of your final semester, all you have to worry about is hockey. So from your senior leadership group, you guys must be spending not only COVID-related time together all the time, but as you head into spring, notice that you guys did a little cleanup around the Ralph and notice that the coach is out to help and tear down the board. So in the context of that senior leadership group, knowing that the only thing left is hockey, just kind of explain to the folks what that has done, you know, in the game or for yourself and the other seniors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I spent the whole time either here or in Brainerd this last summer. So I was with the guys most like the whole time pretty much. And you know, since the first semester started, you know, us seniors have been doing our final classes, and some of us don't have that many classes left, so had a lot of time on our hands, and we've just been hanging out and just kind of watching hockey and just kind of enjoying our time together because, you know, it's coming to an end pretty quick here, and, you know, just really grateful for the opportunity to have to, to, you know, be with these guys and just have some unbelievable teammates. So,
well, Jordan, who do you think is going to be here with North Dakota and Fargo 2 weeks from now?
I don't know. It's a good question. You know, I saw a lot of things that we might be playing Bemidji State, but I think that was accounting for them to make to the WCHA final. So I don't know what's going to happen now. But, know, I'm confident that we'll be ready for them on Friday.
Yeah, whoever there. You got Northern Michigan that upset, and they also have Mass, UMass out in the Hockey East that made the surprise. Well, Jordan, I'll tell you what, your commitment to the your North Dakota coming back for your senior year is unprecedented in this time of the pandemic, and there are a lot of people that you don't know that are behind you all the way this season. But before I let you go, I have to ask you one question. What is it with you in overtime where you can just go top shelf when you're an inch away from the goal line? You're just dynamic.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't always confident in overtime. You know, I think when I was younger, playing in junior, I used to get pretty nervous. I think it's something that developed over time, and you know, I feel a lot more comfortable out there. I think, you know, it's it's fun to score in overtime. I mean, everyone's going to tell you that. I don't know. I just think it's fun rather than nerve wracking. You know, I think it's just fun to go out there, compete, and last goal win kind of hockey is always fun. So,
well, it's nice seeing that smile on your face, because when it's fun, it's not work, right? And when it's fun, you play freewheeling. Jordan, tell you what, thank you for being with the Hockey Guys. Eddie, Christian, and I really thank you for getting up out of bed or putting the weights down or the skates off or whatever you did before you called in. But we greatly appreciate it. Tell you what, go out and win one for the hockey family next weekend and for the state of North Dakota and the nation of Fighting Sioux hockey, all right?
Thanks, Jordan.
Absolutely.
Go win.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you very much.
You don't have to listen long if you're a young hockey player to figure out what's going on, do you?
I'm an old hockey player.
Yeah. No, I'm saying young kids. If you listen to that interview with Jordan Kawaguchi, you start to understand. You see him on the ice, and then you listen to him, and you kind of think, I think he knows how to hit the switch. What do you think, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's one of those players that has a smile on his face. But I can also tell you
Hey, Gunnar, are you there?
Hey, Gunnar.
Hey, Gunnar, wake up. Oh, got a thumbs up.
There you go. So what'd you think of that interview there, Spence?
Great. He said all the right things. You know,
come on. You were not even
you know
in
what?
The studio.
He played great.
Eddie and I were
they
laughing
did well.
At you.
No,
what
that's,
I
think
what,
it was.
What I
no, but
you listen
you
to
look
him
at
convert.
Leadership. He's been there. He's done that.
What's the commitment? Like you said, the commitment to come back, and it
like
speaks for itself.
Like I said, if you're a young player and you're listening to Kawaguchi, he's not going to come in here and he's not going to rah-rah you with what's that? Yeah, we're not Skumkoya or whatever that stuff that you do. But he comes
Sky,
on and
ma,
he,
roll the boat,
hey,
baby.
He says, here's who I am. And then when you see him on the ice, all of a sudden – I don't.
But you know what I like?
Sense the same voice in action that you sense on.
Right. You know what I like though. What he said that
you know what?
Over time he gets.
He plays with
he
his ability, not his mind, and
that's what it is. Yeah.
He'll let his play dictate.
A little different than Jeff and I.
A little bit. Different times. Different.
But we'll be back on the Hockey Guys at 8:35 with Coach Bob Motzko, who's sent a little text to me and said he's driving down the road, so we'll keep him busy for 15 minutes. We'll be back.
You know who's living their life in the fast lane? The Big Ten Championship. Coach Bob, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Welcome.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, congratulations on the championship.
Hey,
yeah.
Bob, Eddie here. Spencer walked in and he says, boy, he sounds different. I said, explain it. He says, well, he's kind of chipper. He's kind of upbeat. I said, he must be alone in his car.
You got it. Driving into practice.
There's just something
no
about...
No traffic today, though.
There's just something about sitting... I mean, I do pretty much a lot of traveling for work, and some days it's kind of nice that you're just... There's nobody else in the car.
You got it.
You know, you take a look at your team coach, and you're one of those experienced coaches, and I've always wondered, what does a team... How do you coach a team to reach the pinnacle, getting into the playoffs? What do you do, coach? Because the team that I saw on the ice last weekend was not the same team I seen a month or 60 days ago. Man, it was a mature team, hungry team.
Yeah, we had a little flare last week, I can say that. But I'll back up a bit with that. You know, when you've got leadership, you know the old saying is good teams coaches lead, but great teams players lead. There's a lot of truth in that. And the leadership in our group, and it really took hold a year ago after Christmas. We have not lost a lot of games since last – I'm talking a year ago Christmas. And we just picked up where we left off. We're still growing. You know, last year we had 17 freshmen and sophomores. You know, this year it's 17 sophomores and juniors. And there's just, it's the evolution of leadership, strong in all areas. We got great goaltending, an outstanding defensive core, and we're deep with four lines. And they've learned to come together. They know now what our good game looks like. And our goal right now is to try to tame that look every weekend. Last week, let's hope that was a great building block for us.
Hey, Coach, you kind of mentioned this is one of those fun things in the world that you've spent a lot of time watching because you had kids that were in sports. So as you look at what you had just shared, you're four lines deep. What's the difference during the game with the timeout schedule due to TVs? Because as I'm watching the game, lots of opportunity to have your leaders back on the ice after a TV timeout, et cetera. So how do you keep those four lines engaged moving through these next four games?
Well, Ed, that's a great question. And the one change we had this year, though, is normally we have three TV timeouts a period. And this year, because of COVID and no fans, we're down just one at the first whistle after the 10-minute mark. And so it helps us with our four lines. And we really aren't afraid of a lot of matchups with any of our four lines. And so it lets us roll. It lets us get in the flow. It lets us we kind of get in a rhythm. Now it's going to be different when we get the NCAA tournament. From what I understand, we're going back to the long timeouts. Big Ten games were lasting almost 35 minutes shorter than all the other games that were doing all the timeouts. So the fact this year we had depth. We didn't have to, like a lot of times when you do have those timeouts, you can come back to your top players, quote-unquote top, better matchups. We haven't had to worry about it. We worry about getting in a rhythm, getting our guys, a sweat going, getting a feel of the game. So we believe that's been a big help for us.
You take a look at the strength of your team, and I immediately go right to your goaltender, and I go right to your defensive core. And that's your strength, Coach, in going into the playoffs. You're set right where you want to be. Not that your offensive core is weak. Put it that way. They're dynamic, but defensively and in the goal, the Gophers have it set right now.
Well, we know that's the strength of our team. And Jack LaFontaine, our goaltender. Now, Jack started his career at Michigan, but he did what a lot of young guys. He went in way too young. I believe he was 18 or 19 years old when he went in. He'd only had 1 year of junior experience, and he got there and he found himself in a logjam. Well, he was there for 2 years, went back to Penticton, kind of cleansed himself with the NCAA to get eligible right away and picked Minnesota. Well, we get an experienced, wily veteran goalie in, took him a half year to get comfortable with the surroundings with a new team. And like from last Christmas on, he's been one of the best goalies in the country, and a terrific student, terrific young man, and like Michigan didn't make a mistake; they just had him too young, and we were the fortunate beneficiary of his path and having him come our way. Then our decor, that's just materialized over our 3 years, and three of our defensive playing on the World Junior team that won gold medal this year. Mikey Kester, a freshman, has come in and just been outstanding. And a couple of veterans in Brinkman and Stoddicker. It's a special decor. They don't come around, very often. You get that many high-quality D on one team. So we know we're very fortunate right now.
Coach, in the context of the NCAAs and looking, there's lots of chatter, but what do you think is going to shake out? Where's Minnesota going? Which region do you think you're ending up with? And regardless of what happens the rest of the way, I would kind of suggest the top four lock. So What do you think's going to happen? What do you think is going to shake out with the selection committee?
Well, I can't. I'll say this. I said it at the end last week in my press conference when after we'd won the tournament. I said, I don't care where we go. I don't care who we play. Just let us know. And I was texting a friend last night. He asked me the same question. I said, I don't know. I'll find out Sunday. I'll let you know. You know, and maybe that's the old Wiley guy, but we're pretty much assured we're either going to Loveland, Colorado, or Albany. North Dakota's got to be in Fargo. Boston College will be at the other one out east. So we're going to probably one or the other. But Sunday at 6 o'clock or 6:30 p.m., I'll text you, Ed. We'll figure out where we're going.
Hey, Coach, a little humor on your side. I made a little tweet this week that Minnesota's got the Big Ten is more east than west, so I think you have to go to Albany. But, you know, your league is set up a little bit from Minneapolis to the east. And I think when you look at that, we would sure hope that in the traditional model, you'd have the crossover. So in my world, it'd be kind of nice to see where the rest of the leagues in the east stack up if they at least had a couple of teams from the west going east or vice versa. Because otherwise, I don't know that anybody's going to ever really have a clue as to where each league is unless you cross them over. But question for you. Lots of chatter at the University of Minnesota. We'll get you off of the hockey talk for a second. You got lots of talk at the University of Minnesota with Patino and with your Gopher women's team not getting into the NCAA in the selection process, which may set up a lot of interesting comments from around the game of men's college hockey after the rankings and the pairwise and the selection committee comes out. And on top of that, you got the Wild having a ridiculous year. So you're kind of, are you in the news, or are you kind of just sliding under the radar with your team within the context of Minneapolis and the University of Minnesota?
Well, I believe we're in the news, and I can change one thought on it, that with no fans this year, our Michigan game, now I might have my numbers off, but you're going to get my point, but our Michigan game in the NCAA, or in our Big Ten tournament last week, viewership, it's the second record that's been broken, about 150,000 viewership. And I know that that the Big Ten Network is really excited about hockey because the numbers are off the charts. And that's being led by the Gophers and our fan base. So we know that there's been tremendous excitement. The people can't come to the building. And we didn't really realize it at the time, but we chose to have our tournament on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Well, not go on a Tuesday, so there and a Monday. So we had incredible viewership, and we know there's excitement out there for us. We know there's definitely some crazy stuff. You know, I can't for the life of me figure out how our women didn't make the tournament. That's pretty wrong. And I didn't know all the numbers till after. And then when you read it, someone's got to look into that because that wasn't right. And how about our Wild? It's so exciting to watch them right now. I know they got thumped the other night in Colorado, but they've been outstanding. And they're gonna be good for some time because they got good young players right now.
Yeah, if they can keep them all. That's going to be the issue. Hey, Coach, quick question here. How do you coach from a psychological, even a physicalness on the ice, as you lead into the playoffs to get your team to hit their peak at the right time?
Well, I got to go back to the leadership part of it, but we do have to manage right now. It's the time of the year, and every hockey coach is going to tell you, is practice is old right now. Coming to the rink, putting your skates on, they want to play games, and we've got a little break right now. But we have to stay sharp, and it's a message that we sent. We had a break going into our Big Ten tournament. It was about three extra days that we normally don't get. And right now, you know, we were done on Tuesday, and we don't play till next Saturday. We have to stay sharp. We have to stay in condition. And if your leadership doesn't buy into that and really has the pace of the practice when we are going to be out there, because we had to take a few days off, you know, then you could slide. But I believe we're in good hands right now. We, you know, this team likes to work. They like to get after it. And we're gonna, we'll put them through the paces today again. We haven't really worked our tail off since last Tuesday night, and we need to do it once yet this week. But I just have faith in our leadership and the makeup of our team. They're gonna want to get after it, and then we'll have Sunday off, and then we'll have a very short week before we head out to whatever region we end up in.
And coach, within that concept, it's really hard to replicate game pace in practice, isn't it?
Oh, it's extremely difficult, no question. You really can't. But the biggest thing is just your timing and your conditioning. We know what we have to do. I mean, that's this time of the year, and we've been rubbed out enough and grinded it out that from a toughness standpoint, we believe we got a little snarl in us. That's not going to go away. And just that you're mentally in the right spot and timing. So it'll be a lot of skating, a lot of puck movement, just to keep our timing in gear.
So, coach, everybody that in your market likes to talk about your home, away, rink size, all that happy stuff, which obviously all goes out the window now. But do you practice continue in the large ice format, or do you say, okay, we're gonna flop over, and everything we're gonna do is gonna be done in the so-called NHL standard size rink as you head into these next four games?
Yeah, we've been skating at Ritter now for the better part of 2 weeks. The ice is out. We took the ice out of Mariucci, so we're on the small sheet because we knew we'd be there the rest of the way.
Well, coach, I tell you what, we kept our caller who wanted a call by the name of Frank S. We didn't let him ask you a question, so we're protecting you. Frank S. is trying to get through to us.
Do you have him on today too?
No. We tried that once, and he got mad at us.
Jeff said, "Should we call Frank?" I said, "No, don't do that to Coach Motzko. He's focused in, and Frank is jealous. So don't let a jealous guy get on the radio with a guy that's on a roll." So you're welcome.
Well, when that Italian would get, I would have no time. I mean, I would just hang up and listen if you had him on. So,
well,
it's one thing with Frank. With Frank, you're a guest listener. You're not a guest speaker.
It's all good. Coach, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do well. Keep your team smiling. And as I shared earlier, that your challenge is that most of your guys are young. A couple of teams have about 12 seniors that don't have to go to school anymore, and you've got to keep both sides together for the next couple of weeks. So do well, stay sane, I guess I tell everybody, and we'll look forward, like you, to tomorrow night's where you're going, who's playing who. So it's going to get interesting. So, again, thanks for being on the Hockey Guys.
Awesome. Thanks for having us on, guys. We'll see ya.
Thanks, coach. Well, you look back and wonder why the Gophers have been doing so well. You look at their coaching. Coach Bob, incredible coach.
You know, it's kind of fun listening to him. And, hey, Gunnar, nice call. He was in a pretty good mood. So
it makes me happy.
And gave away a few secrets there, for those people listening. He's not going to practice on the size rink that they didn't
do
well
on. Took the ice out of the Mariucci.
Yeah, didn't want to tempt the players. But on the other side, the players are smiling because if they're doing sideboards, they got 10 less feet to skate. So is he trying to keep them in shape? He's going on a small rink. Well, let's see what happens, right, Jeff?
Is that 10 feet each way?
Just off the face-off is five
each way.
Well,
then you got to square it, and then you got to round it up.
Loopy's asking questions, so we'll be back here on the Hockey Guys at 8:53 and wrap it up.
Got
our music there. Hey, finally came around to a little...
We're out. Huh? Summertime.
So give us a call, 271-1100. And we want to know who you have in our world as the last four teams into the NCAA 16. And Coach Motzko did a little support of his Gopher women's program that used some pretty good words to say that was wrong. He didn't say, don't know what happened. But just bring it up because there will be some surprises, I believe, tomorrow. And
I agree with you.
There has to be.
I agree with you, and my concern is that, again, I want to protect the NCHC. I want to protect the WCHA.
Well, their final game as a WCHA will happen today.
But we want to protect. I know, but we want to protect You know, that I want to make sure that they get the adequate representation. You know, I could care less about, you know, some of the other leagues. I love the EC Atlantic Hockey. I love Atlantic Hockey. The stepsisters, you know, that all they do is win, you know.
Yeah, what's interesting in this setup is that they're talking, we're hearing rumblings, lots of hearsay, lots of opinions. Well, they want a bus. Well, if you bus, that's going to be pretty difficult because then you'd say, okay, Fargo. Who's busing to Fargo?
Bemidji, Duluth.
Minnesota and North Dakota.
Well,
but
no.
You
would have Duluth.
But I'm going to back up. How come Minnesota gets to be won over Wisconsin? Because of a one-game series. During the year, Wisconsin won their league championship. No weight in the Big Ten on winning the league, but a little extra weight on just how do, and there isn't any pairwise. So again, the question, should Wisconsin have been the number one? Because obviously they're assuming Minnesota won, but Wisconsin's kind of the odd team out. They're going to end up not being able to bus anywhere. They're going to fly regardless of where they go. Just a thought for you. I mean, I found that interesting, right?
Yeah. I can see Wisconsin going out to Loveland with the Gophers.
Wisconsin's going to be here in Fargo with North Dakota, and what's wrong with that scenario?
Oh, that would be sweet. Huh?
Sweet for us, but, I mean, if you had Wisconsin
stick handling it,
I think if someone's
going to say, hey, do you really like that hockey stick? I'm going to shove it up your tail.
I think, personally, I would like to see Wisconsin, North Dakota, because there's a lot of good memories there from our era, right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've watched them play many times. Other than Cole Caulfield, they're not that deep, and their goaltending is – I would love to have the Sioux play the Badgers.
But I want to see that one. Hey, a little shout-out to Badger Mike. Jeff, not sure, but got a nice little picture and a personal text message with Badger Mike and the coach, Granato, from Wisconsin, smiling with the championship trophy. So Badger Mike's going through some health stuff, and just an all-around great guy has called in and kind of spoken up for those Badgers over there, and having toured that place back in 79 with Bob Johnson, and been over there, kind of always, you know, take a look there. Shout out to Badge Mike this morning.
Yeah, Badge, hang in there, buddy. But if the Badgers do come here, Badger Mike come.
You know what? We will do everything in our power to go load them up and dump them off at the rink, I guess. We'll word it that way.
I'll have to have a Badger Mike party. But I wonder if the Badgers will bring their big band, you know, their 100-piece band. But
that would take away from the 25% stupidity clause in the NCAA attendance situation. Gunnar, what do you think? Can we get the hockey guys to flood the building?
Let's do it.
Let's talk to RA. We have been talking.
The RA? He's usually here on Saturday mornings. So you guys might have got a free pass on the
I'm glad he's not
the,
here.
On the Danbury.
He's probably not
expecting. He's getting ready for
he's
the
probably not
months.
Expecting the head coach of the
Jeff wanted
Troy
to talk
Trojans.
About, Jeff wanted to talk about next week's road trip, and I told Jeff that he'll have to have Jordy back in the studio to do that.
That's a classic, though. That your fire came almost in the middle of my press conference.
Yeah, I think it literally was.
That's kind of how it works. And talking about firings and going back to the whole game of college hockey, another Granato behind the bench coaching in the NHL. So it's been an exciting week for the Granato family. And one other shout-out, G.G. Marvin, a local product out of Warroad, is now on the network doing play-by-play in the Wild and on TV. So anyway, we're going to have some fun, Jeff. We appreciate our show sponsors, and we'll be back next week with the solution.
Hopefully.
So have a good week.